You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
A lot of people don't know that Ed Alexander plays the harmonica on the recording of this song.
It's me. There's not often they call you in for to play harmonica on a Sinatra song, so I was honored.
He originally came in with a kazoo, and then Frank said, "Hey, get this palooka out of here."
You.
Good morning to Christopher King.
Hey, Ed, how are you guys?
Good morning. We're just carrying on. It's a good day to be in Tucson because there's plenty to talk about.
If you missed the show, you've missed the hoot so far. We had Mercedes from Latinos from Trump.
It was amazing. That's a 6 o'clock hour. Listen to the first hour of the show.
VA Undersecretary Dr. Paul Lawrence.
First hour.
And we also did the story of the Tucson City Council telling the police officers that they can go kiss their you-know-what, actually ignoring it. The request from TPOA for some sort of censure or apology about Lane Santa Cruz assaulting a police officer, right? And I think the cops should just actually press it and say someone needs to actually bring charges against her and
sue her.
Need a little perp walk on her, okay, is what they should do. We had that. We had Cazares Kelly, the lady who has no experience to run for county recorder, paying herself a salary out of the donations. So she's not even hiding it at that point. I mean, we got it all today. It's great. And then Christopher King's here wearing his King hat.
I know. Yeah,
absolutely.
King shirt.
You are running for Vail School District.
I am running for Vail School District.
Look at that.
Yes.
Well, congratulations.
So the new King brand.
Yes.
Now we know where the King cab came from.
Mm-hmm.
This is
so that's a custom-made hat for your campaign.
Yes.
That's hot.
Man.
Where'd you get that?
I actually ordered it online.
Wow.
There's only four of them in existence.
Now, are you one of those guys like me who have the giant head and it's hard to find a hat that fits?
Yeah, pretty much.
So is that an extra large?
It's a snapback, so.
Yeah, sometimes the snapbacks don't work for me either.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, first of all, Chris, we saw you Monday.
Yes.
Now, if you did you hear me yell at you?
I did. I was like, "Who?" I heard my name and I was like, "Who is that?"
So, yeah.
Who's that loud mouth?
Who's the announcer? Because he had a great voice.
I have no idea.
He was Trump campaign?
Probably. Okay.
So the guy who's the announcer, great deep voice, he goes, "To lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please welcome Chris King," right? So Chris walks up, and I don't know if your part's on video or not someplace.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, okay.
Great.
And literally, we're sitting behind a little off the right, but we're pretty close, mm-hmm. right? And I just scream, "King!" So that was great. So you did a great job.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go to our mutual friend John Hone on line 112. We've added some new lines. John, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Welcome. Wake up, Tucson. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, buddy.
I wanted to just share my thoughts. I failed to call in yesterday on the Trump rally on Monday.
Sure.
It was truly, truly amazing that every person at that airport loves America and loves the people of America and wants the best for them. And that was overwhelmingly shown by Donald Trump and his supporters.
It makes you feel a little bit like Bill Beard said, I don't believe are we really in a blue dot in the middle of a red state? That's what he said.
Wow.
And there was truth, right? Mm-hmm. You just couldn't believe the diversity of the crowd.
Absolutely.
It was awesome.
So, yeah, and you had everybody there.
All politics aside, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden don't even have 1 ounce of what was at that rally. They do not love America like those people and Donald Trump does. And it would be a sad, disgusting day if they became president and vice president. You know, Chris, you noted even the small things like walking out and you seen everyone thanking the Tucson police officers. I mean, that was overwhelming. The best part about it, though, is when they were throwing those hats and those T-shirts out to the crowd, and Mr. Chris King handed me one because I couldn't catch one. So thanks for that, Chris.
Now, what was the thing you brought up on Facebook you wanted to talk about in relation to the rally? I thought there was something specific.
I don't think so. It was just kind of like it was overwhelmingly a love for America.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, yeah, of course, Donald Trump throughout the whole, you know, Joe Biden's a criminal and those kind of things. But it wasn't we hate the other side and what they want to do. It was we really love America and we want what's best for America, and that overrides what the other side wants to do.
Again, I just thought he really he proved again as a sitting president, right, that he's running as an outsider, right? And the idea that he's the guy saying that somehow he's made the connection as a billionaire that he's the guy standing shoulder to shoulder with the working guy and gal. That's what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And pointing out the corruption in the politics and how that hasn't happened with his campaign, because it's not going to happen because he does his thing and fights for us. It was astonishing.
Well, that's what I love when they have the when they say, you know, they say he's a racist, right? No one can actually prove that to me, right? They say he's a criminal, right? Because they want to do the Russian collusion thing, which has been proven four times over that it did not happen, even with their vaunted Mueller report, as I like to call it. And so I know politics are politics, but I got a lot of emails from people yesterday who heard Joe and I talking about the event, who literally said, thanks, I feel so much better about what's going on, just hearing about what went on at the event.
Yep.
Definitely.
So, John, thanks for the call as always. What are you cooking up today? What are you cooking up this morning?
Breakfast chorizo burritos, actually.
Look at that.
You should come on down. We have an all-employee meeting today, so.
Look at you. The Gap Ministries all-employee meeting, chorizo burrito meeting. That's nothing wrong with that.
That sounds good. Right? That's real good.
And we got some cake, too. One of our directors is retiring, Marine, so got some cake as well.
Well, all you nonprofits that are just eating old Ritz crackers, you're just you're just not living it. So, all right, John, good talking to you, buddy.
Thanks, gentlemen.
That's John Hone, our super chef from Gap Ministries. Before we go to break, Christopher, running for school board.
Yes, sir.
Why?
You
don't have enough to do.
Exactly. Well, at the end of this, in December, my term with the county party is over.
Okay.
So, but this is also the school district school boards are nonpartisan elections.
Right.
So everything that I've done has been with the school board has been nonpartisan. I've been attending the study sessions. I've been attending the school board meetings since before the COVID madness started and even since. So, but I've been paying attention. I've been looking at the budgets. I've been looking at the planning that Vail School District has done. And Vail School District actually led the entire county in being the first to go back from a public school standpoint in the hybrid model, and will probably be the first to go back as in full, just based on what I've seen.
What are the issues that you feel need a little improvement at the Vail School District?
The issues that I'm seeing out there is, well, I'm not seeing too much on the need for improvement, but that's coming from the outside. Once you're inside, you'll see a little bit more. What I do see the difference between Vail and some of the other school districts is when you look at the Vail School District board meetings, it's actually a professional meeting. It's, you know, we're not here to tear each other down. There's not animosity. There's not anger. There's not fighting. It's, you don't go through a metal detector like you do when you go to a TUSD board meeting.
Who's your superintendent?
It's John Carruth.
John Carruth. Okay.
Yeah. He's a really good guy.
Okay.
So, but the difference between Vail and TUSD is night and day. So I've been to both meetings to kind of see the difference, and Vail is run professionally. People treat each other with respect. They talk to the positives of the school district. They talk to the positives of the individual schools. The school board members actually go out and actually see positives in each of the schools.
Okay.
And they actually report that through the school board meetings. It's really a positive side to some of the negatives that Pima County gets for their education system. But Vail is kind of leading the charge on that.
So if you're a Vail voter and you get to your ballot, I give you the wholehearted please vote for Chris King when you see him on that ballot today.
Thank you.
This between now and November 3rd. When we come back, we got lots of stuff to cover with Chris. What's the website for your campaign?
It's a good question. It's a free website. It's chriskingforvail.wixsite.
Wixsite.com.
Yeah, .com/website.
Ed's already brought it up for us, so he's on it already. So
you're the best.
All right, 8:16 in the morning, Chris King, Christy Simone. Bottom of the hour, we'll have a call-in from the U.S. Secretary of the Interior, David Bernhardt.
Awesome.
Wake up, Tucson.
Manfred Mann, 80 today. This man reinvented himself, I don't know how many times.
All right, I have a request for you.
Okay.
I know I throw a lot of stuff here for request-wise, but
okay.
I want the Bill Murray stripes when they do this for the cadence before it's all over.
That's a fact, Jack. I'll be right there.
Thank you very, very much for hanging out with Chris King. He's a candidate for Vail School District and, of course, has been a friend of the show for years. Him and his lovely wife, Bobby Joe, have been doing local retail politics for a long time in this community, and we always appreciate their efforts. And he's also one of those crazy guys who reaches out and works with other people from other sides. He's, you know, you think, oh, they're Republicans. No, Chris is not that kind of guy. So we appreciate your efforts.
Thank you, sir.
Matt Neely did give us a little knowledge on Kazar. He looked up at the FEC, Federal Elections Commission. So this may be legal, but it's also noteworthy. And if any of the lazy star reporters bother to look at finance reports. Ooh. So it says you must be paid by principal campaign committee. You must not exceed the minimal annual salary for the office held. Those who elect to receive a salary from campaign committees must provide income tax records and additional proof of earnings. Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Right.
Okay. Payments of the salary must be made on a pro rata basis. You may not get the whole year's salary in one shot. Incumbent federal office holders may not receive salary payment from the funds. There's a lot of stuff here. So I guess she might be jumping through all the hoops. It's still bizarre that I can't believe you can even do that. That's amazing.
Yes.
So let's talk about, first of all, I love the name Irreverent Warriors.
Irreverent Warriors, yes.
It reminds me of my favorite soccer talk show on XM, Grumpy Pundits. No, if I could like steal that name and go back in time, instead of saying Wake Up Tucson, I would have named the show Grumpy Pundits. It would have been
amazing.
So good. But those guys are amazing. So tell me about Irreverent Warriors.
So Irreverent Warriors it's a website that kind of puts together brings together the veterans from the community to get together, reestablish that brotherhood after they get out of the military, and brings them together to kind of combat another mission after they retire, and that's the issue of veteran suicide. So veterans, like law enforcement, they have a higher suicide rate than their civilian population around them.
Sure. We've had this discussion with the VA secretary at 6:30.
Yes. So I was listening to that.
Do we think the VA is doing a good job on that? Do we feel like they're making inroads at least?
The VA can only do so much.
Right.
Okay. It's a lot of the times the people at the VA, they don't have that shared experience.
Right.
Okay. So what the Irreverent Warriors doing, what Irreverent Warriors are doing is they're bringing together that shared experience. And they're doing it through humor. They're doing it through these Silkies hikes that have hit over 100 cities in the nation. They're doing it because, as a combat veteran, you have that shared experience. And it doesn't matter, you know, which conflict you are in, you can still have those discussions. I was a guardian for the let me see.
I could help you.
Oh no, it was all right. I was a guardian for the honor flight, and we went out to Washington D.C. I was a guardian for a Korean War veteran.
Right.
And we're sitting there. All of us are sitting there at the bar. All of us guardians were veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan. We went to Washington D.C. with World War II, Korea, Vietnam veterans, and we were there as guardians. And you're sitting there in the bar at night, you know, after you've done this whirlwind tour, you've left at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
So you get there in the bar at night and nobody's tired. Nobody can sleep because you're that amped up. But the discussions that you have are all the same. The discussions that you have from...
So let me ask you this question, because I want to talk about the Silky Run this weekend. So we know that there's the idea that being in the military, especially if you're in, you know, in the hot zone, as mm-hmm. we like to say, that there's some horrible things that you can experience.
Yes.
That you have to overcome
right.
and try to, you know, heal in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other things? Is it the lack of routine? Is it the, you know, not being part of a unit anymore? Give me a couple more things that are paramount to what's on these guy and girls' minds when they're contemplating. Let's get to that point to contemplate suicide.
Well, there's a lot of different reasons. In late July, a friend of mine who I was stationed with here at Davis-Monthan for 9 years, he killed himself.
Right.
When he got out of the military, when he retired, we retired at the same rank. We both married two kids. We're both dealt with our demons. And one of the things that I've kept to myself is I refuse to be medicated. I will not be medicated unless there's, you know, somebody's holding me down to do it. Okay.
Right.
And even with the advice of doctors, I refuse to be medicated. Right. I don't even like taking aspirin unless I'm in pain, like severe pain. The VA over-medicated my friend. So he was taking 14 medications, and that's right around the average.
Hold it. He was taking 14 different medications?
Yes, to deal with post-traumatic stress. So, and this is something that I've talked to some of the people at the VA about, the over-medication, because they'll prescribe one, then they'll prescribe another to deal with the effects of this one, then they'll prescribe another one to deal with the effects of the other two. And it's basically a conglomeration of medications. So, and 14 is the average. What I've been hearing from some of my other veteran friends, so 21, 22, 23, and basically, you're medicating.
Do you have enough room for food?
No.
If you're taking 21 medications, that's insane.
Absolutely. And the thing is this medication is killing our veterans. So they're basically numbing them down to the point where they don't see any options left.
All right. Well, we got a minute. Tell me about the Silky Run real quick.
Okay, so the Silky Hike is being put on by Reverent Warriors. It's going to start this Saturday morning. Check-in starts at 6 a.m. First step off is at 7:30. We're going to meet over at 1912 Brewing Company at 2045 North Forbes Boulevard. You can go online at Eventbrite under Irreverent Warriors. You can sign up for tickets there.
Okay.
If you're a veteran, the tickets are free. If you want to get some of the swag, you can go online and get that as well. The Silkies there. Silkies are a 1970s style high running short. So everybody's out there, and we're all planning on doing this as many as we can get.
I can't wait to see you in your Silkies.
I got them.
That's amazing. What color?
I've got several pairs. I've got my American flag Silkies.
All right.
So,
all right. When we come back, we're going to talk to U.S. Secretary of the Interior, David Bernhardt. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Thank you, Chris.
That's a fact, Jack. The Stripes, 1981, John Candy marching with Bill Murray and the gang.
I love that movie.
I know. One of the best.
I still quote it to this day many times.
I know. Good stuff. So anyhow, yes, you wanted to hear it. You got it. And our guest is on the line.
8:35 in the morning, Christy Simone, Chris King. Let's go right back to the phones. Secretary of the Interior, we call him a glutton for punishment for calling this show multiple times over the years, David Bernhardt. David, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, and let me tell you, as a kid, I loved Stripes.
Right.
We sung that song, I think, my entire grade school career on the bus every day.
You are correct. May I ask how young you are?
I'm 51.
All right, so you're 2 years older than I am, so that makes total sense. So,
well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right, so we know that the... is it the Great Outdoors Act? Is that did I say that right?
That's right, the Great American Outdoors Act, which is really the biggest recreation and conservation funding legislation that's passed in our lifetimes, your or my lifetimes. It is unbelievable. The president accomplished something here that people have been trying to do for literally decades, and that is to provide funding to restore the infrastructure at our wonderful national parks, wildlife refuges, Forest Service properties, even Indian schools. And at the same time of doing that, they dedicated permanent funding going forward in perpetuity, $900 million a year, to additional recreational investments. And so together, these two things constitute a game changer for folks who are interested in outdoor recreation. And, you know, we got a lot of those folks in the country, particularly this year. We've seen a real increase of people getting out, spending time, experiencing the outdoors. It's most safe place you could be, and people have taken advantage of it. And recreation is about to get an investment like no other that will really further ensure that people can enjoy the wonderful outdoors and certainly our wonderful public lands.
Well, I'm glad you're here to explain this because being an election year, no one in most of the media would like to explain anything about the Great Outdoors Act.
That's exactly right. I mean, the president, I mean, here's the thing. This is like transformational. And it's also one of these things that only President Trump could ever have pulled off. And as a result, you'll never hear about it. You'll never hear about it.
So here in Arizona, I mean, you're very familiar with our national park assets out here. What is something that we're going to see in a national park in Arizona as a result of the Great Outdoors Act?
Well, I've inspected projects at the Grand Canyon, which is, you know, certainly one of our most iconic parks, and you all know that. But you're also going to see additional investments in recreation opportunities and enhancements on our BLM land, which folks, sometimes don't notice. It's all the land that's holding the earth together. But it's also where people ride their motorcycles, engage in recreational shooting, hunt and fish. And what you're going to see with that is we're actually, with Arizona, we're working on some microsites for shooting recreational activity to kind of focus on that, because that's something that people really, really have grown to love. And, you know, the truth is every time you buy a firearm for hunting or ammo for hunting or for recreational shooting, there's a portion of that money through an excise tax that goes right back into conservation through other legislative acts. And so this proposal that the president was able to enact is actually a proposal that was provided to Ronald Reagan. And every president since then has tried to do it. He couldn't figure out the way to get it done. This president in March said, I'm doing it. I want to invest in our parks. I want to invest in our public lands, and I want to invest in outdoor recreation. And he created a game changer for us.
My friend Chris has a couple of questions for you. Chris King. Oh, I thought you had a question for him. I apologize.
No.
I apologize. So, Secretary Bernhardt, so as we move forward here, and you guys, if the president gets reelected and you have another 4 years here, what are some of the other things you guys would like to get done in the terms of what under the Department of Interior? What's a couple other projects out there you'd like to...
Something that's very, very important for the state of Arizona, but really for the entire country, is our dependency on unpredictable foreign entities for our rare earth and critical minerals. Over half of the critical minerals we need to power the modern economy, we're dependent on foreign nations for. And so the president last week laid out an executive order where he asked me to conduct an investigation on our dependency, look at our natural resources, and really begin to think about how we and provide a plan to him of how we can move forward to become less dependent. And here's the reality. There's very little production facilities here in terms in the United States for the processing of these materials. And I think that's something definitely when our investigation's done, we'll notice that, like, we need to do that. We have wonderful access to natural resources in our states. Obviously, Arizona has long been a prime mineral development state. And I think that they're likely to see, you're likely to see, as we go through this, some real attention focused on making America more self-sufficient in terms of productions. There used to be an organization called the Bureau of Mines and Interior, and that's what they focused on as the future. And we haven't done that in a while, and consequently we're completely dependent. And this affects things, you know, from products made at Raytheon all the way through the chain. We just simply don't have these available. And we've learned through the pandemic that if all our production facilities are in China, that puts us in a pretty awkward position in times of challenge.
So the mining, you know, we actually just blew up one of the last copper smelts in southern Arizona, which was in San Manuel. So that, and again, I don't know if that was the proper place to still have a smelting facility. But as you say, I have friends that want to invest stuff and they want to build things in Mexico. And they said, what should I build? I said, you should build a smelting plant because...
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, these are... By doing... The consequences of those things are significant. And one of the things the government can do with proposals is provide, you know, some security to ensure that those things are really game changers. And so that's really what we're focusing on.
So the guy,
that's one of the things we're focusing on.
A gentleman on the phone is a guy who's been working on trying to open up the Rosemont mine here in southern Arizona, I think since the Great Depression. His name is Rick Grinnell. Rick, I knew once he started talking, I was going to ask the question. So you ask Secretary Bernhardt the question. Please go, sir.
Given the myriad of issues surrounding our industry, the mining industry, but one of the most impractical ones is the continued operations that allow for sue and settle to occur. And when is Congress going to step on this and really force litigants to come out there and then be accountable for the frivolous lawsuits?
Well, I think here's the game changer, and we've seen this through a number of projects. One of the biggest things that the president gets no credit for is he just put into effect new regulations regarding the National Environmental Policy Act, and in doing that, he dramatically changed the way environmental assessments and environmental impact statements need to be done. And he did it in a way that both is much more expeditious, but also requires opponents of proposals to really engage in the process, engage in the right time, and ensure that there are not situations where these projects are drug out for 10, 15 years in the permitting process and then are drug out for another series of time in the litigation. Congress can only stop that.
But yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad you brought that up. Rick, how long is when did the Rosemont mine start their permitting process?
The initial application started 2007, late 2007. And it's still, now it's in litigation. And again, there's no accountability for the frivolous remarks and consequences of those actions by a well-funded machine that is dead set on crippling the mining industry here in Arizona.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about an individual project.
Sure.
But this is a pattern and practice we've seen in our country of, you know, there are extreme elements that do not want activities to move forward, and that is at a cost of all of society. And the president has said, look, if the project merits merits consideration, give it good consideration, and give the entity a quick yes or no based on a process, because, look, in fairness to an applicant, they have a right to know yes or no. But don't drag them through 5, 6, 7, 10 years of process of just complete uncertainty. It makes us completely uncompetitive with the rest of the world. It is nonsensical. And this president is the first one in 50 years that has said, I'm changing these regulations. They were promulgated in the Reagan administration. They were misinterpreted by the courts. And he said, we're fixing them. And he did. And so he's done this over and over and over throughout government. No one will give him credit for it, but he is on the verge. If we have a second term, if the president has more opportunity, it's my view that his administration, his leadership style will be to have these agencies running like Swiss watches. And we're not there yet, but he's starting in a hell of a hole.
Secretary Bernhard, thanks for the time today. As always, Rick, thanks for your advocacy and the question as always, sir. Have a good day. Secretary Bernhard, thank you for everything, and we'll talk to you again. Okay, sir?
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
There he is, U.S. Secretary of the Interior David Bernhard. When we come back, we got letters, Ed. We got letters. We got one, Ed. We got a letter that is addressed to the mayor of Pliskin Acres.
Well, let's get to it. I mean, I've got work to do, so that's next.
Absolutely. Get your Perry Como. We got letters ready. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice.
Steve Cropper on the guitar. His birthday today.
We're hanging out with Chris King. He's running for Vail School Board. Of course, he's the 27th vice chair of the Republican Party.
Something like that.
The Republicans are doing their election night wingding at St. Philip's Plaza this year. So spread across the Grant Kruger's three, Reforma, Union Public House, and Proof.
Great.
Paul Ash Management is the sponsor of Joe and Chris bringing the band back together again.
Very nice.
To do our live remote is going to be from St. Philip's Plaza.
So exciting.
So
super.
Ray gets stuck down here, and Joe and I sit by the tequila and the tacos. So we haven't lost our mind.
Do they have a great prickly pear margarita?
I bet
sure
they do.
All right.
I bet they do. So the letters. Let's get the letters. First of all, there was one to the mayor, not the loser mayor. This is the
mayor of Pliskin Acres.
Yes,
thank you very much.
It literally says, "Dear Mayor Ed."
Okay.
This is from listener Grace. Okay.
Morning, Grace.
The blessing. Oh no, that's from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Dear Mayor Ed, I was driving by Country Club in Fort Lowell. Ooh, that's right in your hood, right there. Oh my God, that's in your hood.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw on the southwest corner an old truck filled with, she put belongs. I don't know, belongings. Next to it was a makeshift plastic tent shelter. It looks like belongings, filled with belongings.
Yes, well, yes.
She would like to know, is there a tent city developing on the southwest corner of Country Club in Fort Lowell?
Dear Grace, besides the hot dog cart that's been there for many years daily, there's nothing wrong with that, right? In the corner, I noticed just a couple of days ago, they're squatting in the corner of this empty lot. This is where the fire truck brewing, the old Sentinel Peak, is going to put their new place.
Right.
So sooner or later. But yes, now there are people camping out on the corner in Paul Durham's. Who? I don't know. Excuse me, I'm going to step back for a little bit. Okay, it's a little much for me. Everybody else have life too, Paul. I'm sorry for whatever your problems you're having. We all have problems. Step down if you can't handle it, okay? Just step down, okay? We'll find somebody in the Democratic Party who can sit in your seat and do nothing without you.
What you're confirming...
Yes, there's a tent damn city on the corner of Country Club and Fort Lowell. Across from that wonderful Circle K where you take your life in your hands. Thank you very much.
I'm going to do a Zillow of Ed's house over there.
Yeah, and
Ed, it just went down $27,000.
Right next to Winter Haven. Forget about it.
Dr. Fauci said Winter Haven's canceled.
Of course.
Canceled.
You don't want to have any people having fun, not even in their cars.
Chuck Huckabee. No trick-or-treating this year. You're going to get the Rona all over each other.
So thank you, Grace.
One of our listeners in Marana, are you aware that the Jamshid Mehta of Marana, quote, resigned?
Mm-hmm.
And that the Marana Council appointed the police chief as the interim town manager.
That part I didn't know.
So Terry is the, Rosema is now the town manager. Look at him, from TPD officer to town manager.
Wow.
He's a superstar. I knew there was some issues there between the council and Jamshid. I knew that was going on. I did like Jamshid. I thought he was a nice fella. So, but somehow that as we like to say, the relationship might have not worked out. So
it's soured. Is that what you're saying?
You are correct.
I see.
Umpire John, who's a classic rock person, did not know The Zoo by the Scorpions. So Ed Alexander sent him the song. He was asking us about that.
I didn't know it either until, of course, your little mind comes up with
these. Did you ever work
things.
At KLPX?
Yeah. That was before the Scorpions, thank you.
What years were you at? Hold on. What years were you at the KLPX?
Well, when did we put them on? 40 years ago?
In the 80s.
85 or something like that.
What years of the Scorp Zoo?
I don't know. But okay. We were playing the Cars and stuff like that.
Okay.
Tom Petty, we weren't playing the Scorpions that I know of at that time.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Did you play any Yes in those days?
Not much.
Oh, guess what? You know, guess what month and year the Zoo was released?
Go ahead.
March 1980.
80. See that?
So that's okay. You know.
I know the playlist. I put it in there. There was no Scorpions on that playlist from our consultant. But anyway.
Chris King, you've been an absolute pleasure.
Likewise, sir.
Good luck in your race for
good
Vail
luck,
School District.
You,
I think
sir.
You'll be great there.
Thank you.
So, keep
but
up.
you're not done yet. When are you done with the GOP thing?
December.
Okay, so you're still doing that too.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
If I get elected to the school board, that'll take place in January. So,
all right.
Nice.
Perfect handoff.
Off.
You
all
might
right.
want to tell people to get out and vote if they haven't already. Do it now. Everybody else has.
Folks. Oh, absolutely.
Everybody else has. Don't do it this weekend if you haven't already.
And remember to tell everyone to vote all the way to the bottom.
Right.
Okay, so I got a call. So what judges? Nobody knows what judges to vote for. I voted for the one I
what
knew.
What do you got on judges?
Back.
I haven't done much research
okay.
on judges.
20 seconds.
There is a list of judges on PimaGOP.org that is there. And if you have any additional questions, you can call the office at 321-1492. That's, starting at 9 o'clock.
That's good knowledge.
That is good stuff.
Yes.
PimaGOP.org. Tomorrow, Christy Simone and Judge Jeanine Pirro on at the same time.
That'll be awesome.
Yikes.